The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. No, it's to John. It is the chair of the Bishop of Rome. In celebrating this feast, we express our union with our Pope, Leo XIV, and our loyalty to him as the supreme leader of the Church. The feast also invites us to reflect upon the importance of the Church buildings in our lives as a community of faith. It is also a challenge to us to recognize our personal baptismal identity as temples of the Holy Spirit, and to confirm that an identity with the way we live our lives. Today's readings tell us about two temples, the Temple of Jerusalem and the Temple of Christ's body. In the first reading, the prophet Ezekiel uses the image of a mighty river flowing from the Temple of Jerusalem, enriching the land to express the hope of renewal for Israel. The river flows not from any earthly source, but from God himself. Ezekiel envisioned at the time when the river of God's grace runs, blessings will be shown as it flows from the temple to the sea, providing food and trees that bear fruit once a month, and as the leaves having a healing and transformative nature. Excuse me. Our gospel reading from the Gospel of John today describes Jesus' cleansing of the Jewish temple. On entering the temple precinct, Jesus is shocked to see the money exchangers and the merchants selling doves and sacrificial animals. In anger, he made a whip out of cords and drove them out of the temple area, telling them to stop making his father's house a marketplace. This surprising and drastic action of Jesus reminds us that the temple, and indeed every church, is not an ordinary place, but a house of worship, a place where people encounter God in very special ways. As the sacred congregation for divine worship reminds us, a church is a place where Christian community gather to hear the word of God, to offer intercessions and to praise him, and above all, to celebrate Eucharist. And it is the church where the Eucharist is reposed. Hence, it is appropriate that churches are treated with the appropriate respect. Since Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold ox and sheep and doves, as well as money exchangers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money exchangers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples recall the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jew says, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this, and they began to believe the Scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, instead of the usual type of Sunday liturgy, we are celebrating the feast of the dedication of a church, a building. And this building is the Lateran Basilica there in Rome. The Lateran and the Laterano are names for an area in Rome at the time of Constantine. And that name is also shared on several other buildings in Rome. The Lateran property was once owned by the Laterano's family of the Roman Empire. And they lost the property to Emperor Constantine, who allegedly then gave it to the Bishop of Rome, Sylvester, at that time. The Basilica of St. John Lateran, or the Arch Basilica of St. John the Baptist Lateran, was solemnly dedicated on November 9th in the year of 324, and was the first and the oldest of Christian basilicas. And it is considered to be the mother and the head of all churches of Rome and in the world. Respect and reverence. Now, my mother grew up in a small rural community in southwestern North Dakota, Mott, where the favorite statement was, "Mott was the spot that God forgot." Shows you how big this place was. But nonetheless, it was the people there were Catholic German immigrants that came over from Odessa, Russia, and they settled in that land there. Her stories about the importance of the church in this small German community shows the importance of the church to the lives of this rural farming community, where she spent the first 18 years of her life. To the town and rural communities, the church was not a place that you gathered for Sunday and an occasional confession. It was a place where young people brought their baby children. And in those days, you were baptized the Saturday after you were born. But you brought your children for baptism. And then when they were 12, they received the first Holy Communion and entered a penance. Older, when they were in the 7th or 8th grade, they received confirmation. A little later on, this is where they were married to the woman or the man who they lived and would live the rest of their life with. And then at the end of people's lives, it's where they celebrated the joys of the people they loved as they passed from this world to other. It was a place that after church, they had potlucks where the men gathered to talk farming, the women about family, and the young children chasing each other, the older teenagers starting to develop their social skills with the opposite sex. And so it was a place of faith, hope, comfort. The whole community revolved around that church. No one ever passed a church without making a sign of the cross. And as far as social medium was concerned, it was the priest. And so it was a good community, a community where everyone belonged. And I think we've lost something as we become modernized and whatnot. And it was not a simple place for worship. It was the community. And so returning to the gospel readings, after clearing out the money exchangers and those selling animals for sacrifice, the Pharisees asked Jesus, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And this is where Jesus answers, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And of course, Jesus What do you mean? We've been working on it for 46 years. But Jesus wasn't speaking about the building. He was speaking about his own body. That in 3 days, yes, it would be destroyed, but in 3 days, it would be raised up and became the new indestructible temple of God. God, over an enduring presence with us. And by our union with Christ in baptism, we too, as St. Paul reminds us in the second reading, we are temples of God, you and I. As he said, do you not know that you are a temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? God's temple is holy, and that temple is you. In a homily from the 6th century, a French saint, Caceres Aro, explained the above statement of St. Paul in the following words. In baptism, we have become temples of Christ. The more profoundly we meditate on our salvation, the more we deeply come to realize that we are indeed the true and living temples of God. God does not live only in shrines, but in us. In us. We are not made of stone or brick, but we are made from the hands of God in his likeness and image. And so as we celebrate the dedication of the Lateran Basilica, a famous building made of wood and stone, let us keep in mind that the church is not just a building where we gather for worship, but a community of believers, temples of Christ. God bless.